Hello, and welcome to the American Marketing Association's Marketing Power Podcast, The Politics of Selling, How to Win Votes and Sales. I'm your host, Nancy Bacala, Senior Director of Online Content for the AMA. We're very excited to welcome our special guest, Tim Reeser, who's Chief Strategy and Marketing Officer of Corporate Visions, Inc. With more than 20 years of sales and marketing experience, Tim is a recognized thought leader, practitioner, and author regarding marketing and sales messaging. Tim's books, Customer Message Management and Conversations That Win the Complex Sale, focus on improving sales-ready messages and tools that salespeople can use to create a compelling story that wins more deals. Tim, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Nancy. Great to be here.
You know, you've noted that the current Republican primary certainly is offering marketers lots of intriguing examples of how candidates are using a variety of social marketing strategies to win votes. To start off today, can you give our listeners your personal assessment from a marketing perspective of how you think the top candidates are faring?
Well, it's interesting that watching the top candidates and their performances, the results, their poll numbers is a little bit like watching the stock market or riding a roller coaster right now. So I think as a marketer, you would like to see a little bit more consistent performance from your product if one of these candidates was your product. And so certainly it's been a bit jarring to actually see how quickly things can swing when you're used to things being on a much more slower slope or trajectory. So I think what's happening is you're seeing a lot of strategy having to shift quickly, adapt quickly, and move and bob and dodge and weave because there is so much volatility right now. So from a marketer's perspective, it's actually quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and from your perspective, what candidates do you think are really doing a good job in terms of acting as salespeople and marketers and convincing their constituencies to vote their way?
Well, I think what just really struck me with this whole cycle so far, and it's calmed down a little bit, but normally these candidates can shape and frame almost an entire presence through advertising and other media types of appearances that are much more controlled and, if you will, even a little bit more contrived. But this use of the debate forum has really kind of exposed all the candidates for who they maybe really are to the core of what they represent and how well they can represent it. And I think we saw a lot of candidates fall by the wayside who could have probably produced some excellent speeches, some excellent media ops, and some great advertising by poor performance in these debates. So it really changed the game. So what I believe you're seeing is, humble opinion here, that those with sort of the deeper intellect and grasp of the issues and the ability to be articulate, even in a spontaneous moment as well as a prepared moment, have risen to the top, and you got to see under the covers of what could have been packaged in just an advertising environment.
And, you know, you've also indicated that you think comparisons can be made, really, between how these candidates are working to overcome voters' indecision on some of these issues with that of marketers and sales professionals today who are all about obtaining engagement and sales and conversions. Can you elaborate on that a little?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that part of this idea of this volatility is that people are very indecisive. And they just don't know which way to go on the candidate of choice. And so it's not just because voters don't understand the issues. I think they do. I just think they're struggling to figure out how they can sort of pin down one candidate to that makes the most sense to what matters to them. And what's interesting is when you look at sort of brain science and when it comes down to making decisions, the strongest motivator for making a decision of any type is which decision is going to help ensure your survival. People are more motivated to move away from some risk or some potential loss that could impact their survival, and I put that word in quote marks, versus moving toward something that looks like spectacular gain. You know, we're just wired that way. And it happens that way in sales cycles as well. The status quo, or the indecision or ability to choose to do something new or different is your biggest enemy. It's not usually your arch-rival competitor. It's what they're doing today and the fact that it's hard to get somebody to do something different or to change. And in order to get people to change or make a decision to move one direction, you initially have to help them see their current situation or their current decision or their status quo as unsafe. Before they're ready to choose a new safe, they have to believe that where they currently are is unsafe. And that's the thing about the status quo is they believe they're safe when they're there. So you have to start creating opportunities as a salesperson and converting opportunities by convincing somebody they need to change and they need to do it now before you can really start talking about why you and why you're that best choice. So there's really three yeses you need: why change, why now, why us. I think candidates are in the same place. They have to convince people that the person you think you want to choose is not the person you want for these reasons, and then move them towards why you want me. And that's just basic brain science, actually.
Well, I think that's true for and applicable to all marketers today, but in particular, I would think in the B2B space. I'm wondering then what specific techniques you're seeing being used by today's presidential candidates that salespeople and marketers can use to adopt in their work, particularly, like I said, in the B2B space when you are trying to get businesses and decision makers to make really significant changes.
Well, I'm going to say something rather provocative here, and I'm going to say that the human brain and the voters actually need negative advertising in order to help frame their decision. They have to know what they need to move away from before they start to figure out what they want to move toward. Now, what's interesting is we'll all say, I only want positive ads, I don't want negative ads. That's because the part of our brain that's saying that is where language resides, but the part of our brain where decisions take place has no language. So we do really respond to the negative ads to help us decide what not to do and what to move away from before we decide what to move toward. It's just applying to the brain science. Well, that's what happens in sales situations. You have to be provocative. It's the reason I was trying to be provocative with you there. So you have to say something that sort of startles the status quo. An object that's at rest tends to remain at rest until you put another force against it. And usually what you have to do to dislodge or loosen the status quo is bring a little dark rain cloud and tell them where maybe the floorboards they're standing on are starting to leak and squeak, not because they were stupid and made a bad decision, but because trends have changed, issues, risks, challenges, missed opportunities. Things in your environment have changed from the last time you made that decision, and you need to shed a light on those things that have changed. Tell them what that impact might be if they don't do something different, and then start leading to the strengths of your solution. As opposed to today, we tend to go in guns ablaze and leading with our solution. You have to lead to your solution.
Well, that is provocative, but it would, you know, really represent a new change for salespeople in terms of, you know, what they're using in their toolkit to really, you know, sell and get those leads converted. So that would be really a great point for them. So speaking about that, what do you think that salespeople in particular are getting wrong today when attempting to motivate prospects?
Well, and I think this goes back a long way. I mean, companies at their very core want to present a face to the market that says it's going to be all butterfly wings and pixie dust when you work with us. You know, it's going to be all goodness. And that's their brand promise. It's all going to be good, 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 good. So then salespeople go in and they don't want to rock any boats. They want customers to be happy. They want them to like them. And so they talk about all the good, good, good things that are going to happen, yet customers are stuck. And they don't understand why, well, with all this goodness at stake, why are you not making a decision? And what happens is they fail to realize that people have never been fired for missing out on a good opportunity that nobody really knew. But they do get fired for missing out on a risk or a challenge or a threat that caused a problem in the company. And so they're stuck saying, should I go for all this goodness and make all these changes and take the risk of change to maybe get to this goodness, but that no one would have noticed if I missed it? And they struggle. They get indecisive. So salespeople have forgotten, I don't think they've really understood, that the feature benefit, leading with your differentiation before the customer even knows they need to or want to do anything different, is completely usurping the buying process that goes on in your buyer's brains, and you're going too far ahead of where the customer's actually at. That's why we see 60% of so-called qualified leads falling out due to no decision or status quo. That means the majority, 6 out of 10 leads in the sales pipeline, leave because they didn't do anything, and that means you're only battling for the 4 that are ready. And that's not enough to grow your company. You got to figure out a way to get one of those or two of those other 6 to actually move on that thought they had instead of sticking with the status quo if you really want to grow at the rate you're being charged with growing.
Well, those are some really significant points to make. In order to do that, though, what do you think needs to change in the sales process as it is today that will really help move that needle towards more conversions and more sales, better lead gen?
I think that what has to happen is companies have to identify and determine what their distinct point of view on the marketplace is, as opposed to saying, hey, let's go in and ask these 20 questions and try and discover where the customer has pain. Well, a person in status quo might tell you where they have some pain, but they're not going to tell you big enough pains that would cause them to actually want to change, because in their mind, the pain of change is actually bigger than the pains they're living with. So what a company has to do is develop a distinct point of view that actually comes to the customer and says, based on our experience serving dozens, if not hundreds of people who look just like you, we're seeing these issues affecting where companies are at today. And companies realize they can't stay the same, and here's what they're trying to do different. And based on the trying to do these things different, that's why we've built our solution this way. So this idea of launching a point of view into the customer conversation and letting them know how things are changing around the customer, using your experience and having solved this for other companies that look like them, as opposed to learning your products and certifying on your products and having all the product knowledge and then leading with that, and the customer has to figure out, well, how does that fit? Why does that fit? And all they see is a big change management project. You have to help the pains they're living with look bigger than the pain of changing to a new solution. And that's the complete miss there.
And definitely change management for, I think, some sales teams out there. These are really great points. I think, you know, we all recognize we're in the middle of an exciting election year, and the lessons that our current presidential candidates are offering marketers and sales professionals are really impactful. We've been talking to Tim Reister today. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening to this edition of our AMA podcast series. I hope it's been a good learning and listening experience for you. Look for information on other upcoming podcasts by visiting marketingpower.com/podcast. Make sure you sign up for the RSS feed so that you're aware of all the series available to you. To learn more about Tim's book, Conversations That Win the Complex Sale, visit the website conversationsthatwin.com. Until next time, I've been your host, Nancy Pacala. Thanks for joining us.